It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle Madsen is out. It is his birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Kyle Madsen.
Big number 35 for Kyle.
Nice. That's a good age right there. That's right. What is that? That's mid-30s right there.
It's mid-30s. I don't know that you deal with mid-30s well.
No?
No, because you're so much...
How does one deal with mid-30s?
You're looking at it like I'm no longer close to my 20s. I'm closer to 40.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough one.
I haven't hit 30 yet. I'm 29 this year.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, I had the big birthday this year.
You're 50, right?
Yeah. I mean, looking back, like 35, I don't know. Life is a lot different. I'm at like the end of, like you're always a parent, right? But you know, my oldest is now 22. My youngest will be, he'll be 18 in like 16 days, and so I won't have any actual quote like children. Legitimate children. Although my youngest is going into a senior year of high school.
Dang, that's crazy.
He's just an old senior.
Yeah.
He was really little when he was like 4 or 5 years old. So we're like, okay, you have your choice. He's August 31st birthday. You can put him in early, and then he's always going to be little and like the youngest in his class. Or you can put him in later, and he'll always be the oldest.
And he's better than everyone else at sports.
You would hope.
Yeah,
but he's still growing.
Yeah, we
chose correctly. We chose correctly.
We got the young Joe Brazil here.
We do have Joe Brazil.
Hello, good morning. And happy birthday to Kyle, of course.
There we go.
Yeah.
Joe has not been able to join us a lot lately, but the days he is here, we appreciate you, Joe.
Oh, yeah. That's real, because I tell you what, sitting here, it's a lot less stressful. Like, because if I'm working the board here, I can only imagine how Kyle feels. If I'm working the board here, it's like I'm just always just kind of locked in, like just kind of always focused on that. That's always some type of aspect. But if Joe's here, it's like, let me sit back in the chair. Maybe I'll kick my feet up. I'm going to just talk to James for 2 hours.
Hang out. Let's have fun.
Well, that and the way that we're doing the show right now, I'm taking the lead on the show. But I don't have to work the board. Kyle has to do both. That's the thing that's kind of nerve-wracking. And then when I have to do it, it's always awkward because I'm not used to it. It's like I'm sitting here listening to the music, chime in, waiting for Kyle to start talking. And Kyle's not here, so I have to start talking. All right, well, thanks for tuning in. We're, of course, the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll run with you from 10 to noon, and then we'll hand off to D'Lo and KC. We will have, like, in, I don't know, roughly an hour and 40 minutes, we'll have the new handoff, which is an expanded version of the handoff, which
big
is really
hit.
Fun. It is a big hit. To me, a lot of times, it feels like we're just all, like, laughing and talking over each other, and it's chaos.
Yeah.
But then there are other times where it's like really, really like good conversation. And I think both of those work. It's just like depends on the day. Like today's Friday. If we don't get to any real content,
we're going to goof around probably for about 30 minutes.
Yeah. If we don't get around to any good content at all, it happens, right? Jesse, how do you like, you know, when me and you do the show, this is different for you. But I've seen you like grow leaps and bounds. How is this feeling for you?
I don't know. It's fun to me. Like, whether it's Kyle, you, or whoever, I just try to be myself and hang out for 2 hours, talk sports and all that. It's radio. Radio, believe it or not, to everyone listening, is not supposed to be, like, this most, like, difficult thing where it's like, oh, no, I'm stressed out. Like, you literally come hang out, talk with the boys or girls, whoever's on, for however long. And I don't know. I don't take it too serious. I think that's why it works.
All right. Sweet. We do have a big football game this weekend. You can catch it right here on ESPN 1320 starting Saturday, August 16th at 12:30. We have 49ers versus Raiders. Second preseason game for both teams. This is where you would hope that you start to see some ramp up of actual players. I think usually preseason works like the first game is, depends on the team. Some don't play any starters, some play some starters. And then sometimes you go up against a team that decides to play their starters for like way too long, and then their second team for way too long.
Written it earlier, I think, the 49ers starters are expected to play at least a little bit here. Brock Purdy, though.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. And then of course, the Raiders, I think we're going to see a little bit more of the starters as well. And then week three is usually when you see more of like, you know, first half or first five, six series type deal. And then
we got the week off now.
What's that?
We got the week four off now until the regular season.
Oh, so there isn't a fourth week.
Three games now, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow. Because
they made that change a couple, at least a couple years ago, I believe.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for that. So what are you looking for? We've got this Raiders and 49ers game coming up. I think for me, you know, we'll start with the 49ers. One of the biggest down sort of bummers to watch play out was the play of Nick Martin. Young linebacker, but I just thought he was out of control and, you know, looked like he was on roller skates like half the game. That's going to be one that stands out for me. What are you kind of looking for from the 49ers?
I mean, it's preseason, so I take it all with a grain of salt, but it's kind of like what we see with certain guys in tight end over here real quick, like with certain guys in the G League. We see him playing something like we want to see him dominate. See, all right, like, are you ready to step over that next level? That's not necessarily the same thing here, but I want to see Brock Purdy tear it up for a little bit.
Okay.
Like, you just got paid. I want to see, like, Brock Purdy kind of go out there confident, go out there for series two or whatever, lead a scoring drive at least, and after that, we're all good.
It's funny.
I just want to see Brock Purdy play like the quarterback they played him to.
It's interesting.
They paid him to be. Not saying that if he doesn't, oh, it's all bad, but it's just that's just what I'm watching today.
That's something that I think Kyle holds on to as well, that, like, you paid Brock Purdy, so now he has to be a better player.
Well, not better, but just more so last season can't happen. You're going to have more of a command now. Like, you're expected now, if you're paid like those type of players, to at least be bare minimum, like a one game above 500. Like that 9-8 where you're always at least fighting for a wild card spot. I think that's the bare minimum expectation for those quarterbacks. The two was, even the Trevor Lawrences, all those guys, Jordan Loves, like now you're paid to where, like, that's the most important position. I know their wide receiver group isn't the strongest, and I get all that, but the quarterback makes everything go round in the NFL.
Okay.
That's just the bare minimum expectation, I feel.
Yeah, I get that. I look
it
at the...
It could be unfair, but
yeah,
it's just the way it goes, too, I think.
I look at the 49ers' offensive line, and I'm not super impressed. I look at their wide receiver room, and I'm not impressed at all. I think they've got good running backs. I think they've got good tight ends. I think they have some talent at the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, if you're going to... If everybody in the world is going to ding... You know, Brock Purdy for not having for stepping into a situation where he has great offensive weapons all around him and say, well, he's not that good because he has all these offensive weapons, then I'm not sure how you're supposed to hold him accountable when like half of the offensive weapons are now gone. You know, there is no Debo. There is no Brandon Ayuk, at least for half the season or 6 weeks.
Well, the good thing for me is that I always thought Brock Purdy was pretty good.
I did too.
Like, I've always thought he's a borderline. Top 10 makes it seem like I got him like 7, 5, 6 or whatever. Like, he's always been around that 12 to 9 range, I think, at his best.
Yeah.
At his best. I think I've had him around there. So I've never really, I've never really been too low on him or whatever. So I think going into the season, it's just more so just keep. Now you just expect to be at your best all the time. There's no time for lulls.
Okay. Yeah, because I look at it that there's a clear top. Like four in the league, right? So
Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, and then it's everyone else after that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we all understand that. And then there's another tier right below that that, you know, I think like
Jalen Hurts is now.
Yeah. Herbert is in there. You know, the guys with the big arms that, you know, you're thinking, okay, like this guy can lead a team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a group of them, even. I don't know. Well, like, I think we all ignore Goff, but Goff quietly put himself in that category.
Goff has been two NFC championships and a Super Bowl, or three NFC championships and a Super Bowl, one with the Rams, two with the Lions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Goff at this point accepted Goff is good, that Goff is a really great quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he actually, like, either he led the league or he was in the top two for, like, two straight years and yards.
Yeah.
You know, like, the guy has developed into a phenomenal quarterback. And a leader of a really good team.
Just the thing that follows Goff is that he got traded for Stafford and they immediately won a Super Bowl. And I feel like people wrote Goff off after that. Mm-hmm. He's kind of worked himself back because he was always just pretty good. But it's like now he's got the NFC championships back. And like now people are just getting familiar again with Jared Goff.
Yeah. And I think he's a top 10 quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone wants to put him in there. We just ignore him.
I'm fine here.
Yeah, and if we're talking fantasy football, do you ever consider drafting Goff?
No.
You should.
You should, but you don't.
You don't. Like, if someone drafted Goff, everyone's going to look around like, man, there are a lot of better quarterbacks around. It's like, are there, though? Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude is actually a really, really good quarterback.
Goff isn't going to throw the ball 80 yards down the field. He's not this imposing quarterback like Josh Allen is. He doesn't have any just
physical traits
that a quarterback has.
He's the just, running. Yeah, he doesn't do the running stuff.
He's Jared Goff, and that's okay because he's really good still.
Yeah, I mean, he led his team to a 15-2 record last mm-hmm. year. I guess we could say the same about Sam Darnold, but for me, a guy who throws for 4,600 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions, he's probably closer to a top five quarterback than he is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, and that's not the first time he's done that. Like, he's had back-to-back, like, tremendous seasons. Actually, he's gone for 44, 38, 45, 75, and 46, 29 in the last 3 years. Yeah, that's a lot of yards.
It's just one of those things where it's like, he does it all, but we're irrational as sports fans, so it's just, in our mind, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah. But it's crazy. If I told you he's a four-time Pro Bowler, you'd be like, really?
I wish the Pro Bowls. I don't know.
The Pro Bowl doesn't count.
The Pro Bowl doesn't mean anything anymore. Mac Jones made a Pro Bowl, no disrespect.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But like, with, like, going back to Brock Purdy, it's just, yeah, now he's paid, and like now I just want to see Brock Purdy at his best all season long.
Okay.
Like, you don't, there's no, he's still developing and all that. Like, no, now you got to do what the Jared Goff's do and all that. I'm not saying you got to be a top five quarterback, but just more so at your best more times than not. And more times than not, meaning probably 15 out of the 17 games of the season.
Yeah, I just really, really hope that they have some development at the receiving position. They figure out the Juwan Jennings situation.
If he's throwing passes, it's like, these guys can't catch a pass to save their lives or anything like that. Then it's like, all right, what can you do at that point? I mean, he's going to catch heat because that's just what the quarterback does. But
yeah.
You can see that, but I don't think that'll be too much of an issue.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the 49ers are banking on Pearsall mm-hmm. being, like, really good. On Juwan Jennings being able to...
being ready to go week one.
His calf. Yeah, his calf has got to be ready. And he's not happy. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants a contract extension, so that's another issue. You know, DeMarcus Robinson is probably getting suspended for a couple of games. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
That's still hanging out there. The rest of the guys, like Robbie Chosen, and like there's just a bunch of...
Robbie Chosen is a practice squad to wide receiver four, fifth guy at this point in his career.
If you went back to Robbie Anderson, would you feel better about him?
Maybe. He became Robbie Chosen on Miami, so we kind of got that.
Okay, so I'm of the opinion that if he went back to Robbie Anderson, it might be like, hey, look, he's a normal wide receiver again.
Well, you think
again,
of Robbie Anderson, the Carolina Panther. People are going to think of Robbie Chosen, the Miami Dolphins. Like, yeah, that guy's not very good. Robbie Anderson, the Carolina Panther, hey, he was pretty good.
He was good. Yeah. He had a 1,000-yard season exactly. or close to it. Yeah, yeah. I thought he was going to be really
like,
good.
Would you rather have Chad Johnson or Chad Ochocinco?
I would rather have Chad Johnson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that sports science thing on Chad Johnson where – they said when Chad Johnson goes out into the flat, he can cover an area the size of an elephant.
I didn't see that. I used to watch Sports Science. I didn't see the ad episode, but that just kind of reinforces that athletes are just in just different tiers of people, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the like speed and all that stuff is just kind of insane.
He also, like, his money stuff is really weird. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't keep his money
frugal.
In a bank.
Yeah. He says he used to sleep at...
Yeah, their
at the Bengals
facility.
Practice facility the first couple of years.
Yeah.
I believe him, sort of, I think. I don't know. He kind of some of the things he says are true, and some of them are kind of fakes. You kind of toes the line. You can't ever really tell.
I don't know. He's an intriguing dude. You know what? I hope he doesn't change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope he stays the same. So he's you know, a bit erratic, but yeah, he's super fun. So we've got the Nick Martin situation. I want to see if the defensive line can gel and also a little bit about the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like these groups need to start gelling. I think that some of the rookies will play. Of course, some of them won't still. The Niners have a bunch of injuries. I think they had, 25 players who couldn't practice this week, the joint practice. But I'm here to see, like, what do they start to look like? Do we start seeing a shell of what this group is going to start to function as? I think that's a big deal. Outside of that, if they're going to run Carter Bradley out there for a whole bunch of snaps like they did last game, like he can't just be horrible. Like I don't care who he's related to. He can't just be so bad that he throws into triple coverage or he can't read base defenses. Like I don't care how far he can throw the ball. Like, if he has no discernible quarterbacking skill, then, like, go find somebody else.
Yeah, I imagine that's the plan here. It's Gus Bradley's kid, right?
Yeah?
Yeah, like, Gus help us defensively here. Not saying like, yeah, we'll give your kid some snaps or whatever, but like he can play quarterback. We'll give him some run. If he can play, we'll keep him around. If not, he's got to go. Like,
yeah,
they're going to cut him.
He's looking more and more like a practice squad guy.
Yeah. And let him throw his interceptions, James. Let him play quarterback and we'll see if he belongs on the 49ers or not. Let him throw his interceptions.
Yeah, the guy that the 49ers had drafted in the 7th round, he's still injured.
Yeah.
And that is Curtis Rourke. I don't know if he's got any skill either, but he's out.
Either way, if you get into your third quarterback this season, go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to dive a little bit into the Raiders, but also we have Kuminga Watch, day 40. So we'll dive into that. We're the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. He's Jason Tevye.
Kuminga Watch.
I'm James Hamm, Jess Tapia, Joe Brazil hiding behind the glass. We are brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I am James Hamm. Jesse Tapia is manning the board over there. You're pushing buttons.
No, Joe Brazil's pushing buttons.
Well, you're pushing some buttons. You have access to buttons.
Oh, I have access to...
Kuminga Watch.
I don't even think I have access to that.
Yeah, that's not on that one. Though.
There you go.
Get you set up, though. You need that one.
There you go.
I have rules. I don't press buttons. And, of course, we have Joe hiding behind the glass over here.
Yeah, I've got
Hello, everybody.
I've got Damien's soundboard in front of me.
You got Damien's soundboard?
Let's play the hits.
Okay. Lake Show.
Hey, man, I won't mention this guy's name. I'll give him his initials. OJS.
No clue who Mitch was talking about still to this day. No clue who he was talking about.
I did go see The Naked Gun, and I... They have this scene where they're all like walking down the hallway and all their fathers have pictures up on the wall, like in memoriam pictures. And of course there's an OJ Simpson one. And then the guy looks like
I've never seen
like,
the original ones.
Oh really?
Yeah. So are those ones I need to go back and watch or how does this work?
You don't,
not to see like this new one, but are those movies good enough from back then? It's like, oh yeah, go ahead and go watch those movies.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, and this is what someone told me before we went to go see them. Like, physical comedy is dead. Like, we don't see that anymore. Like, the days of, like, Airplane and, again, the Naked Gun movies or the Hot Shot movies. Like, that type, that genre, like, scary movie, like, the fake ones. Like,
All
that stuff is kind of gone away, right? Mm-hmm. So when you go watch the Naked Gun, you kind of have to remember that it's ridiculousness all the time, and it's...
Don't take it too seriously.
Well, it's all physical comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you forget, and it does pay homage to a lot of the original movie stuff, but I don't think you have to watch the originals to, like, get any joy out of it, but it would allow you to see the genre that is coming from, because if you're not used to those, you know, because I think we started changing over, and it was a lot of, like, the Will Ferrell stuff, where... It's physical comedy. Some of it's physical comedy, but it also plays into like a real storyline.
Yeah.
Where a lot of these other movies, they're mocking everything that they don't really play into a storyline.
Yeah, I'll check those out one day.
Yeah, and O.J. Simpson in the originals, he was there. I think he's in Nordberg, but he never actually like he didn't have like a big speaking role or anything. He was actually even more part of the physical comedy than anything else. Like at one point, he had got injured. I can't remember how he originally got injured, but like he's got a neck brace, his arms and legs are broken. He's in a wheelchair and someone lets go to the wheelchair while they're talking to somebody and he flies down a flight of stairs at a baseball game, hits a rail, flies in the air. Like, so it was a lot more of that type of physical comedy.
Gotcha. Yeah. So OJ Simpson.
You missed the OJ. I mean, you weren't even alive for the White Bronco, were you?
No, not even club. I was not even thought of yet. I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he is fascinating in the sense where he's still, that story or whatever, the feeling is, like, it's still, like, a crazy, I don't know what to call it. Like, it still probably holds weight from how, the impact or how you guys felt back then. Like, it's still, like, a riveting, not even riveting, I don't know what the right word is.
Yeah, I think when, like, when I was a kid, OJ was in, he was in.
Like, you say that word, and everyone knows what you're talking about. Whether it's me, you, Joe Brazil, yes. My younger brother, like, it doesn't matter. Just everyone knows what that is, and just there's a, I don't know.
Yeah, so there's two, like, iconic commercials from, like, the late 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. and it's Mean Joe Green, where he throws a kid his towel after a game or his helmet. So there's that one. And then there's O.J. Simpson racing through an airport doing spin moves off of people carrying a briefcase and, like, trying to get to his plane.
Yeah.
So they're, like, he was iconic not only on the field but also...
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was a star, too.
He started to transition, yeah, into these other roles. And I think at that point there were a lot of NFL players who were becoming actors. Like, John Matuszak was a huge actor, a Raiders defensive lineman. Him and Lyle Alzado were incredible, but... He was in a movie called Pirates, and it's also coming off the heels of Wilt Chamberlain becoming a movie star, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being in, like, Bruce Lee movies. So we start to see athletes start to make their way into sort of the movie world.
Yeah.
And I think OJ was one that, like, got into the comedy, but it's not like he was ever a headliner or, like,
yeah.
incredibly funny. He was more of, like, hey, look, they got O.J. Simpson to do this movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had all the rest of the stuff, which goes extremely negative. So, really, really weird. And someone's right. It, like, in the chat, people bring up the wrestlers. I think that's where we went, like, as opposed to a bunch of former professional, like, football players. Like, the wrestlers
took that over.
So yeah.
The Rock or Dwayne Johnson, Roman Reigns now, John Cena's in movies. He's got Peacemaker coming out, that show on HBO Max.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming out.
Yeah, yeah. So we definitely, it was a Hertz commercial. There we go. Thanks, David J. in the chat. Just kind of weird. But I definitely would go see the Naked, just go in with the expectation that.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch that tonight. The fiance is with one of her best friends getting married tomorrow and stuff. Okay. And the dog is at. Father-in-law's house. It's gonna be me today. Maybe I'll watch it.
Okay. It's fun. It's lighthearted. You can go to the movies by yourself and sit there and laugh. I mean, we were at the movies and there were some older people behind us cracking up at everything, which was, it actually made the movie much more enjoyable. Because, like, okay, it is okay to laugh at this type of humor. Let's just wrap up this whole deal with the Raiders 49ers. What do you need to see from the Raiders?
Just more of the same. I mean, I need to see Ashton Jeanty get going today.
Yeah.
I don't need to, like, in the sense where it's like, I don't know about Ashton Jeanty. He hasn't been able to play well these first two preseason games, but that's kind of the X factor for the Raiders this season, so that's one I got my eye on.
Yeah, I think that's what I have my eye on as well. It's kind of the low-hanging fruit in this, but when a guy goes for three carries for -1 yards, mm-hmm. you're just waiting for him to have a positive impact and, like, look like sort of the player that everyone expects him
coming
to be.
Coming off the year that he just had at Boise State, too.
Yeah, and coming up later in the show, we're going to have Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Life come on and talk fantasy football with us. No Faraz Siddiqui this week. I think Faraz is it next week? The week after. We'll have Faraz right before the start of the season to help you with your fantasy football, like, primer right before your drafts. But we're going to bring in a different voice, which I think is good. You know, like, on occasion, you need to hear a little bit different. And we'll ask him about Ashton Jeanty. Thor is big into, like, sort of the rookies coming up and all that stuff. I'd like to know where he's going in most fantasy drafts. Outside of that, I want to see, like, how is Pete Carroll managing his backfield? Is it going to be, we're not going to know all that today, but is it going to be all Jeanty, or is he going to mix in some of these other guys and can really take away carries? I think we want to see if they're able to solidify their offense a little bit. They have the young wide receiver that looks spectacular, and Dante Thornton.
Yeah, I'm sure you're probably hoping for someone to kind of step up there and maybe eventually be better than Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have somebody who eventually, because Jacoby Myers, number one, isn't young.
Jacoby Myers is a fine NFL player.
He is.
Not a wide receiver, number one.
Well, no, I think even like Juwan Jennings, you think Juwan Jennings has a better chance of being like a wide receiver, number one, than Jacoby Myers, but Jacoby Myers is... He's a good player.
Yeah, he's been around the league for a while. He's not bad or anything like that, but it's just, that's not how you I figure that's not the best case scenario for any team going into a season. Not that, like I said, not saying Jacoby's bad. He's a fine number two on the team, sure, whatever, three. But, yeah, you're probably hoping that one of the younger guys steps up at some point.
Yeah, and, like, look, I think, first of all, he's only 28 years old. So and
only?
Well, but for a wide receiver, that's okay. Last season, he had 87 catches for 127 yards. The three seasons before that, he was at 800 yards. Season before that, he was 700. Mm-hmm. Most of those were with the Patriots. He just looks like a number three wide receiver that's kind of miscast, but he's made the most of it.
But yeah, he's productive. You just want to get the most out of that spot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Whatever happened to Hunter Renfrow? Man,
he's on the Carolina Panthers. He sat out the last two seasons, or one sat out last season at least. I know that, but he's on the Carolina Panthers, I believe, right now.
Really?
Yes, he's making his comeback. He was dealing with an injury, I think. I'd have to double check, but he was dealing with something that sat him out. Now I think he's healthy and ready to go.
It's really weird. He went from having 103 catches for 1,038 yards and 9 touchdowns to nothing. 330, yeah. 255, and then out of the league. And he got paid. So a lot of that time, they were paying him big money to actually not perform, not hardly play at all.
Yeah, hopefully he steps it up this year.
Yeah, so again, tune in tomorrow. We will have the 49ers-Raiders game here on ESPN 1320. It starts at 12:30. It should be an entertaining game, no matter what, it's in Las Vegas. Let's get to Kuminga Watch.
Wait.
Kuminga Watch.
We have reached day 40 of Kuminga Watch. And I got to be honest, there isn't really anything to report as much as there is regurgitation of previous stuff. I guess the one added piece here is that according to Brett Siegel, the Bucks turned down Bobby Portis for Jonathan Kuminga like sign-in trade. I think that that's interesting, but I also think it speaks volumes about sort of the uneasiness around the league about a player like Kuminga and also what a player like Bobby Portis can mean to a franchise like the Bucks who are in flux. And
yeah. Well, yeah, working with me right here is kind of like, it's almost the same situation. You're trying to win for Giannis. You're doing everything for Giannis the same way the Warriors are doing everything for Steph Curry. I get not wanting Jonathan Kuminga and even not giving up Bobby Portis for him, because Bobby Portis is going to do exactly what I need Bobby Portis to do for Giannis. I can't bring in Jonathan Kuminga and assume so. Not saying that Jonathan Kuminga is a bad player or anything like that. I'd love him on the Kings, but in that situation, I completely understand.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, accepting a role in the NBA is one of the most crucial things that you can do. And Bobby Portis at like 29 knows exactly what his role is with the Milwaukee Bucks. He shows up to work every day and tries to do what he does. And when he has more opportunity, he's better. When he has less opportunity, he doesn't complain. And he just goes about his business.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say that I think that Kuminga is, well, that Bobby Portis is a way better player than Kuminga.
I wouldn't even know. I'd say right now Kuminga is a better player than Bobby Portis.
Well, Kuminga definitely has a higher ceiling than Bobby Portis. But I also, like, there is such a value and knowing who you are and playing to your strengths at the NBA level.
That's exactly the difference.
Yeah, and if there's a player, and it's sort of this weird gray area that we play in when it comes to Kuminga, because we can see how he's failed and how the Warriors have failed with him, you know, like it's right in front of you. Mm. But there's also this opportunity for him to be something different and something better in just a different system. And, you know, again, I said this for years, like, I like Davion Mitchell. I think Davion Mitchell is like an incredible defender. I think he's a very good basketball player. I think he did not fit at all in Sacramento. He doesn't fit what they're doing. He doesn't fit their style of play. Is he good on the defensive end? Sure, he's good on the defensive end. And even that stood out, because it's like, you're good while everybody else is bad. And you're actually doing things like that. He wasn't good off ball, but on ball, he's incredible. But off ball, he like exposed his teammates all the time to like getting blown by because he was out of position. And so this whole time you're like, okay, man, you don't fit this system. I feel that exact same way about Kuminga, but I also don't know that he fits the King system either. And that's going to be a problem.
What is their system? Because in my
TBD.
Okay, so then perfect. TBD, then you kind of bring in a guy like Kuminga because you kind of need someone to take a role here. The player that Kuminga wants to be, I feel like, is a good situation here in Sacramento because you need someone to take that spot. Like, you need to figure out you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you need someone to kind of, I don't take initiative or just kind of become that number two or number one, whatever it might be. Because you don't have anyone like that right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling...
Where you do have, like, the Bucks don't really have room to play with or really risk or anything like that because you got Giannis there. The Kings don't have, like you just said, the direction is TBD. You can afford risk here, I feel.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. The Kings are in a place where they can, you know, take a gamble here on a young player. But I also look at Kuminga that, like, if you get him, like, at his peak, he might be, like, the power forward version of DeMar DeRozan. Like, you're still going to have to deal with the fact that he is kind of, like, he wants the ball in his hands a bunch. I mean, his usage rate for a guy who didn't play that much was, like, 27%, super high. You know, as opposed to, like, 15, 16% for Keegan Murray. Like, his usage rate is just, like, off the charts for a guy who's, like, a bit play or a role player on a team. So I think that there are some major concerns about how his fit and everything else will kind of work out. But
I hear all that, but also my question would be, like, what are you, not you, the Sacramento Kings, what are you looking for then at this point? What is the right move then? What is the right player that it's like, all right, yep, finally, we're going to do this move right here. Like, what exactly are you looking for?
I just don't know that it's out there anymore. I mean, I think, like, the right player at the right time was probably a guy like Cam Johnson, but you didn't make that move. You know, I think there are players that can help this team, but I also think we're starting from a point where you're almost, like, wide open to whatever happens here. You're wide open to bringing in a young player who could potentially lead your team in scoring, and that's I think it's a good place to be in because you do have an opening here for a young player. But I also think it's not a great place to be in because, like, we're worried about fit and everything else. Like, this isn't going to be just like, you sign him on, you make the move on September 1st and he fits right in seamlessly and you just go about your way and he's averaging 25 a game in year one and you're a much better team. I don't know that that's the way that this thing works out.
Well, yeah, but does it look better if I'm talking to you about 2 years from now and we're talking about Keegan Murray playing alongside him with Domantas Sabonis and then you're kind of looking for, maybe you got Keon L starting at the two and you're just looking for that, like, that right player to finish that off?
Yeah.
No, like, Kuminga, you bring him in and he's not, that's not necessarily something that's going to help you dramatically this season, but it's something where, like, looking towards the future, we got decent building blocks now.
No, I'm with you. And you at least think you might have building blocks. So I look at him as,
yeah, he's
got to
get the job done and all that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like a potential pot of gold, like low risk, high reward. And, you know, again, you hope that you're not in year three going, man, how do we get rid of this $20 million contract?
Yeah.
Which is always a possibility. But I just don't know that this deal ever gets done. I mean, it's just kind of like in limbo at this point. I will say the one other thing from Brett Siegel is, you know, Kuminga is telling more and more people he's probably just going to play for the qualifying offer.
I believe him.
Yeah, I mean, I at least believe that he believes that today.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, where there's, you know, $8 million versus $20 million, you're going to have to sit there and really, really make a tough decision.
Well, yeah, and the free agency market's looking kind of tough.
Yeah, how spiteful, like, are you going to be, you know? And
well, is that money that you're hoping for going to be there next year?
Yeah. And
Cam Thomas seems he's going to go the qualifying offer route this season and risk his luck next year. That's a bold move.
Yeah, but I mean, the Nets, he wants like 30 to 40.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Nets, from what
I heard, Tyler Hero money.
Yeah, they offered 14.1. They offered the mid-level exception.
Yeah.
That's tough, especially for a team that has money. So anyway, like, look, I think it's going to be a complicated situation, and we're going to continue to track it because...
What else are we going to do? It's August 15th.
Yeah, and it makes sense, and it actually, it's fun. It's a fun bit, and we have a cool button that Jesse can press right now.
Kuminga Watch.
It's an all-time. Kyle Mattson has had, like, some pretty solid ideas the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one right there. That's a good one.
Between that, the handoff, like, Kyle Mattson's been cooking.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so when we come back, we're going to jump into a couple of things. First of all, there's a statue that's going up at Crypto that's really, really interesting. There's also Hoops Pipe came out with a whole group of... you know, their top 26 shooting guards, their top 26 point guards, and we're going to dive into those lists and kind of see where the Kings are at. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We are the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back in. We're the Insiders. James Hamm, Jesse Tapia joining me. Joe Brazil behind the glass. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Jesse, we've been going through, you know, this is the dog days of summer. And
what does that mean?
The dog days?
Yes. What does that even mean?
I think it just means the lazy days.
I can also try to give my interpretation of this. Okay. It might be different. So I kind of like that, yeah. And it's like when... I don't know. I guess it would be kind of when just there's not much in between this stretch of time. It's hot out. You're nearing winter. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. But for sports, at least for us, I always imagine it being less content, obviously, less for us to talk about.
Interesting. So I am now reading. It is not actually about dogs, but rather is rooted in ancient Roman astronomy. This is according to AI Overview, which is, of course, always accurate. The Romans believed that the star Sirius, also known as the dog star, added to the sun's heat when it rose from the sun during that time.
So that's it, huh?
I guess.
This is the star days of summer. That has nothing to do with a dog.
Well, no, they believe that the star was magnifying the heat of the sun. Which is...
All right.
So like the toughest days of summer, I guess?
I guess. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to call it something else at this point.
Okay.
Okay. What are we... The lazy days of summer?
Yes, that's what we're calling it. I'm damn sure not calling it the dog days of summer. We just looked it up. It has nothing to do with the pet.
Okay. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take control here.
Yeah, yeah. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but Hoops Hype came out with their they're going through their top 26, which is always weird. At you know, their top 26 at every position, right? And I'm not quite sure why they chose 26 because there are 30 teams in the league, and of course that doesn't mean that every team is represented by each of these lists.
Those last four players are just really bad, I guess.
Yeah. So I always like to go through sort of their, what it is that they believe, you know, sort of their parameters for making these lists. And, this is from Hoops Hype. The way we ranked these players was through a team vote. So any biases could be put aside and also the results could be as fair as possible, but it's also a futures list, right? So, they're just predicting. They're not going off of last year's stats. They're predicting what they think will happen this year and where players will rank this year. So we'll start first with the shooting guards list because there are two Sacramento Kings on this. And Malik Monk is number 24 on the list. I don't have...
Third from the bottom.
Yeah, but, I mean, first of all, Zach LaVine is number 10 on the list, right? So number 10 on the list, that seems about right for Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Zach LaVine is one of the most efficient scorers in the league, without any question. I don't, you know, again, I can have problems with his defensive ability. I can have problems with the fact that some games he decides that he's not going to play and not shoot the ball, and you're like, what exactly is happening?
Yeah, I feel like general over his career, the issues with Zach LaVine have been less about his ability to play basketball and more so his ability to be the guy on the team.
Yeah, I mean, last year he shot 51% from the field, and he shot 44.6% from three.
Yeah.
He's one of the best shooters in the league. And not only that, but he's not a primary catch-and-shoot guy. So he gives you something different. He's able to pull up off the dribble from 27 feet. And when he gets hot, we all saw it last year, it's absolutely incredible to watch. And the other thing I'd point out, too, with when it comes to LaVine is just how consistent he was last year. And for me, when you have a player who, you know, steps into a new team in a new situation mid-season, you don't know what you're going to get. right? And I think when it came to LaVine, I was super impressed that in his 42 games with the Chicago Bulls, he shot 44.6% from three. In his 32 games with the Kings, he shot 44.6% from three. He shot 51.1% from the field with the Bulls and 51.1% from the field with the Kings.
Consistency.
I've never seen someone who's so consistent across two teams in one season. If anything, his free throw percentage jumped to 87.4% with the Kings, where he was at 80% with 79.7 with the Bulls. But everything else was just like extremely consistent and efficient. And so for me, that's why like I get him being number 10. I also think that, you know, if you're looking at this season, that's probably the rumors about Monk potentially being on the table, you know, whether he's going to be a Sacramento King or not, that is probably impacting where he is on this list as well.
I'd imagine so. And sticking with Malik Monk real quick, that whole thing is kind of just fizzled out. He's a perennial Sixth Man of the Year candidate. I don't get why everyone, and just whether it feels like it's from the Kings or from teams not just wanting to trade for him or anything like that, this list, it seems like everyone is just down on Malik Monk.
Yeah, I don't agree with him being like a worse player than he was a year before or any that. Like, I understand the financial ramifications of Malik Monk's contract and why he doesn't make sense for a new management group in Sacramento.
I'm asking you that, just asking a question here with that. Like, have we hit a point where just this new CBA, the apron stuff, has made it where $18 million per year is just, like, yeah, that's a little tough to keep around?
I think that there are a lot of, I think the NBA middle class is going to go away. And that's what, like, I know it sounds weird to say he's middle class, but in the NBA standards, like 18 to 22 million is kind
just
of
the
like
role players that are middle in between.
Yeah, you have your young players and your league minimum guys, and then you have your like your sort of lower middle class, which are like around the 10 to 14 million. Then you have this other range from like 15 to 25 million, and then from there you go to the like, you know, the rich folk.
Yeah.
And then you have like maybe a layer of people who are rich but they're not wealthy, and then you have your wealthy. Yeah, you have your $35 million players out there and stuff. But I do think that that middle is totally being affected, and especially in a season where there aren't there's no free agent money, right? So I still think Malik Monk has a tremendous amount of value. I just think as a management group, if you're assessing your team, I can see them going, okay, number one, Malik Monk should be like what you said. You should be able to trade a 27-year-old guy who averaged, you know, 17 points and 5.6 assists last season. You should be able to trade that guy. Any other season, you should be able to trade that guy with no problems. You even, like, talk about a guy like Cam Thomas who's sitting out there. Cam Thomas is a higher-end scorer than Malik Monk. Malik Monk's a better player.
Yeah.
Like, at least in my book, he's just a better player.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's more versatile. He can play the one. He can play the two. But that's where I kind of look at this list and I shake my head. Because if you're just predicating this off of the fact that, you know, De'Aaron Fox might not be, I mean, that, sorry, that Malik Monk might not be on the Kings next year, so you're going to, sort of downgrade him. That's one thing. I don't get it, but okay.
Well, looking at the players they have ahead of him, at number 23, local favorite, Buddy Hield.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, Buddy Hield averaged 11 points per game last year, and he shot 41% from the field. And I don't get it. Like, how would you think that you're going to project out that Buddy Hield is going to have a better season than a guy like Malik Monk? Now we get to the next guy. The next guy on the list is Bradley Beal. Okay, I buy it. Bradley Beal, I believe, is a better player than Malik Monk. There are some quirks to him that don't make any sense and that people don't like. But then, you know, that every player has some things that are a little different, right? Number 21, Alex Caruso. Again, I get it.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso's like one of the top defenders in the league. And if you want to compare him, his defense against Monk's offense, okay. But you're talking about a guy who's on championship winner and like a really good player. Number 20, Ty Jerome?
I don't agree with that one, James. Gotta say.
I don't understand this at all.
Maybe that's one where they're really putting an emphasis on Ty Jerome, maybe taking a step this season. Or like you talked about, it kind of being future rankings as well. That's the only way I can kind of see that. But even then, it's kind of tough. So,
what if I told you that Ty Jerome is older than Malik Monk?
Then everything I know is a lie. I would have just guessed that Ty Jerome was like 23 or something.
No. And he just signed a 3-year, $28 million deal with Memphis. So maybe his opportunity is going to be different.
Yeah, but, I don't. Then that's even worse for me.
Yeah, I'm very confused. So Malik is 27. He won't turn 28 until February. And Ty Jerome is, I believe, 28. Yeah, he's 28. And in July, he'll be 29. So, I mean, that's not a big deal that he's a little bit older. But again, show me where Ty Jerome has proven that this is a player who he is.
He hasn't reached what Malik Monk has yet.
Nope. Okay, so let's get to number 19. Aaron Wiggins?
You mean Andrew?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't. Aaron Wiggins, too. Like, he's not better than Malik Monk. Aaron
Wiggins at number 19?
I don't even see him taking a step ahead of Malik Monk this year.
Look, I think Aaron Wiggins is a good defender. But I'm confused by the Aaron Wiggins being this high on a list. So, it's a little weird to see this. After we get past that, I think that, you know, again, Christian Brown, I think is, like, again, a better two-way player.
Shaedon Sharpe after that.
Shaedon Sharpe had a much better season last year than I thought. Anthony Simons at number 16.
Boston Celtics legend, six man. I'm going to be real. I feel like him and Malik are around the same type of player.
Same type of player, but I think Malik is a better distributor, and I would probably take Malik Monk.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think CJ McCollum is a better player. I think Jalen Green is a better player. Dyson Daniels is a better player. I get the list. Kobe White is a better player than Malik Monk. Desmond Bane at number 11. So I'm okay with the list. I'm even okay with all the guys that are ahead of Zach LaVine, except for maybe Austin Reeves at number 9. Mm-hmm. But Austin Reeves is always going to be higher on these lists than he should be.
Yeah, and he's expected to get a decent little payday too coming up.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we step aside, we'll take a look at the point guards just a little bit, but then we'll dive into this this Pat Riley statue thing out in front of Crypto. Interesting, to say the least. So. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. We got Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.